Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, August the 5th. No, the 12th. What am I thinking? It's been a long week. Yeah, it is August the 5th. Anyway, NASCAR Sprint Cup Series and the Truck Series were at the Tricky Triangle, Pocono International Raceway, and the Nationwide Series was out at the Iowa Speedway. NHRA was out in Sonoma, and the IndyCar Series was in Mid-Ohio. And this past week, I was able to catch up with one of the drivers, Simona Di Silvestro, who was able to come on with me, and we took some time with her. She was racing in the race this weekend. She wound up qualifying ninth. So here's my time with Simona Di Silvestro, teammate to Tony Kanaan, the Indy 500 winner. So we're still working on that one, but Simona, who's from Switzerland, was nice enough to come on, driving in the IndyCar Series this year and last year as well, and she's having a fine season, so let's hear what she has to say. I'd like to welcome to Garage Talk Live, for her first time coming on, driver for KV Racing in the Izod IndyCar World Series, Simona Di Silvestro. Simona, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And I guess you're out in Ohio. You got the race at the road course in Mid-Ohio this weekend. I'm just curious, what made you decide to become a race car driver?
Well, I started pretty young, actually, when I was about 6 years old. And I think I had the racing bug really early because my dad used to do that as a baby. I was only quiet when racing was on TV. So I think I was into it really early and got my first go-kart when I was six. I was playing different sports, but I always knew that racing was kind of what I wanted to do. And I've been really lucky so far to have people behind me that supported me and which you the goal to be
as
an IndyCar series.
I've been trying to follow you throughout your career in the IndyCar series. Of course, you know, this year you're teamed up with Tony Kanaan, and it seems like the equipment from last year isn't anywhere near as good as the equipment from this year, and it seems to be showing in your results. Hello? Yep.
Can't hear
you. Okay. Okay. I was just saying before the call dropped that from last year to this year when you went to KV Racing, that you've gone from into better equipment and your results are starting to show and pay off there.
Yeah, for sure. I think joining KV is a really good move, especially joining the Chevy, you know, that I did. It was really good. And we started off the season really well. You know, we had a few tough patties and, you know, we were running up front. And, you know, time kind of getting a little bit of up a little bit. So hopefully we can turn this around this weekend in Ohio and really finish the season really strong.
And, the thing about, you know, running on the road courses, going to the ovals, you feel you need some better, you think they should run more ovals, that's why you can get better at them? I think they want to run, what, 2-3 ovals this season?
Yeah, well, actually we're running, I think, like 6. Yeah, when we got to the ovals, you know, we were really strong on the road courses, like you said. And then, you know, I think I had a lot to learn on the ovals. And you know, the results kind of showed we didn't start off really well. I think
Now you get to run at Pocono. That's considered a little, we call it the Tricky Triangle. How did you like that track?
Yeah,
think we had little Sarah. We had to keep calling back. She was a hello. We seem to be fading in and out. I was just asking you about running at Pocono, being that's not really an oval and it's not a road course. It's kind of different. How did you like running there?
Yeah, so it was really interesting. Jimmy Carr hadn't been there in 24 years. Like I said, it was a really fast oval with three different corners. So, it still feels fast, the speeds are so high, and, you usually almost flat out every lap. But the corners are so different. Turn one and turn three are way different, so setting up the car was pretty challenging. But I thought the racing was really a lot of fun and a lot of passing and things like that, so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, because that seems to be the thing about Pocono as far as even as the stock car drivers there, you can only set up for two of the three corners or even one of the three corners, but it just seems that the way that the track is as wide as it is down that front straightaway, you can get into some, 5-6 wide going down there.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, turn one has a lot of banking, and usually you don't just choose a little bit through there. And if you try to get rid of that, you're really loose in turn three. So it's really tricky, and you kind of, it's never going to be perfect in every corner. So you kind of have to find a good balance. And, I think that was good in the race, too, because some cars are really good in the beginning of the stint and then show you a little bit more towards the end and things like that. So I thought that it made the racing really exciting.
Do you feel that driving in the IndyCar series is a lot of fun? I mean, because you have a lot of formula driving from the smaller schedules, and do you feel that it's suiting your style a bit better nowadays, or, is you really prefer the open wheel?
Well, yeah. When you come from go-karts, you try to stay in open wheel as long as you can. And for sure, the IndyCar series this year, it's so competitive. Every driver, every weekend could win the race. So I think that's what's really exciting, and that's a really good challenge to have because, you're driving against the best guys out there for the fun. And for sure, a lot of hard work goes into it as a team, as a driver, and that's how the sport should be, and that's what's really exciting. I'm really happy to be doing it, for sure.
That's good to hear. And with Mid-Ohio coming up this weekend, and how do you feel you are on that particular track as opposed to maybe a street course or one of the other road courses?
Yeah, I really enjoy Mid-Ohio because it's a track. When I came to the U.S. in 2006, I raced here for the BMW and then for the Atlantic. I always seem to be doing pretty well here, so I'm really looking forward to the weekend, and hopefully we can have a really good result. And, it's kind of like a big roller coaster. This track goes up and down a lot. Really physical too, so during the race it's pretty challenging that way, and we're going to start testing tomorrow, so I think I'm pretty excited to get back in the car and just see what we have.
So it's one of those kind of courses of the up and down. Do you feel the G-forces in your stomach when you start going up and down as opposed to right and left hand turns like that?
Yeah, you do, for sure. When you haven't driven on a track like that a little bit in the beginning, it's so really funny because you lose a little bit of grip when you go over the hills and things like that. But it's fun because every lap, it's just a lot of fun. So, you want to do as many laps as you can because you're so on the edge on these kind of tracks, which makes it so much fun.
Well, I can't wait to watch the race this weekend, and I'm glad you were able to join me today and take some time out of your schedule. So I just want to thank you, and hope you can come back on sometime.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. You're welcome. Take care, Simona. There you have Simona DiSilvestro and how she did out at the Honda Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio. She qualified ninth, as I said a little bit earlier, and she wound up with an 11th place finish. So good steady run, top 15. The winner of the race, though, was Charlie Kimball, somebody I tried to get on earlier. He has the Novolog Flex Pen, diabetic. He always has his injector in the car. It was his first win. Simone Pagenaud came home second. Dario Franchitti third. Will Power was fourth. Ryan Hunter-Reay, who qualified on the pole for the race, wound up fifth. Elio Castroneves for Team Penske was sixth. Scotty Dixon, who had a string of three in a row, wound up seventh. Justin William eighth. Marco Andretti ninth. And the GoDaddy guy, James Hinchcliffe, wound up 10th. Time of the race, only an hour and 43 minutes. Average speed, 117. Margin of victory, 5.5 seconds. That's a pretty good size gap. Figure every tenth of a second's a car length, so it seemed pretty much like a big gap between them. There were five lead changes amongst three drivers, those drivers being Kimball, Hunter-Reay, and Pagenaud. And then the cautions, there were no cautions. It was a clean race. That's why it got over so quick. So that's it for the IndyCar race out at Mid Ohio, and seems like a fun course to watch, though. And she says it's kind of like a roller coaster. I don't know if I'd want to be hopping in the car after eating a full meal. I kind of worry about bringing it back up. But anyway, you can take your calls if you want. You can give us a shout out at 646-649-1899 if you saw that race, or want to comment on the Cup race at Pocono or the Nationwide race out at Iowa. The truck race was pretty good, too. That was Saturday afternoon. It was a shorty, a 50-lapper, and Miguel Paluto was out on the pole with Ross Chastain for Brad Keselowski Motorsports, who we've had on the show here. And it was actually the one who started in sixth position, Ryan Blaney, who wound up taking the checkered flag. We did have some overtime run of 54 laps with Blaney leading three times for 20 of those 54, taking home the bonus for the most laps, and total 5 bonus points for the effort, total of 48. He was able to take the checkered flag, so him and his teammate did pretty well. Chastain finished fifth. He did lead for a while as well, and especially right off the bat, Miguel Paluto led early from the pole, and then Chastain was able to get around him. But Paluto wound up second. Herman Quiroga was third. Joey Coulter in the 18 truck was fourth. Fifth again, Ross Chastain. Sixth, Ron Hornaday Jr. And seventh, Darrell Wallace Jr. driving the 54 for Kyle Busch Motorsports. It's not a Gibbs car, but it's got Gibbs equipment. That Kyle, when he was in that truck, he did pretty well there. So Darrell Wallace has good equipment, who's in development for Joe Gibbs Racing. Look for him probably in the Nationwide Series next year. He's had a few Nationwide starts and done pretty well. So we're just getting him some seat time in the truck series. So at least he's driving for a good car owner with Kyle Busch. Now, whether you like him or hate him, that's neither here nor there, but say which one, he is pretty good, you know. So Darrell Bubba Wallace, up and coming in the rookies, as a rookie this year, so he's running for not only Rookie of the Year, and he's also running for the Truck Series Championship, so he's got his work cut out for him, but he keeps having finishes like that, maybe sneak a win here and there, and who knows. Matt Crafton came home eighth. Ninth was Brendan Gaughan, and 10th was Brennan Newbury, our past guest not too long ago, Jet Burton, wound up 12th. He started 3rd. Another one of those Turner Scott Motorsports, along with teammate Todd Bodine. So there's a few out there. Turner Scott Fields, also Nationwide Cars for Kyle Larson as well. So, you know, that's a good team organization there, and they're doing pretty well with the Truck Series and the Nationwide Series competition. So Todd Bodine driving for them, a one-off deal. Had a chance, if he won the race, probably get some ride time. He's out looking for a job. It's like a few others there looking for jobs. Try to have a good year. Like Newman was showcasing his talents at Indy, winning at the Brickyard. That helps a lot. Todd Bodine trying to do the same thing in the Truck Series. It was Blaney's second Truck Series victory overall. And he had there were 4 cautions for 10 laps out of the 54 run. There were 9 lead changes amongst 7 drivers. So it was a pretty good race. I think the time of the race was exactly actually, I don't see a time of the race. That's unusual to have them not posted here. So in the Truck Series points, Matt Crafton still leads Jeb Burton there by a 52-point margin. Jeb has a bit of making up to do. Ryan Blaney's 3rd, 10 points behind Jeb, 2 points behind Blaney, James Buescher in 4th. Ty Dillon in 5th, he's 4 back of Buescher. Brendan Gaughan, 6th. He's a little bit ways back, further than that. Miguel Paluto, 7th. 8th is Tim Peters. 9th is Darryl Wallace Jr. And 10th is Johnny Sauter. Sauter not having a good year, a bad year, but not a good year. I think he'd like to finish more in the front of the field this year, but after winning the championship a couple years ago. So if you want to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. See if we can pick up some audio from the Camping World Truck Series. We have Ryan Blaney after the race talking about his win with his crew chief, Doug Randolph. I'm sure he's enjoying taking that checkered flag home. I would, too, if I won.
Okay, let's roll right into our post-race. Our winner today, the 4th annual Pocono Mountains 125 for the 2nd time in his NASCAR Camping World Truck Series career. It's Ryan Blaney, and he drives the number 29 Cooper Standard Ford for Brad Keselowski. And certainly a big win today, Ryan. Showed a lot of savvy and a lot of grit, aggressiveness on those final restarts. Those were pretty wild out there. And just talk about how you maneuvered up through that field there and got that victory here today at Pocono.
Well, you know, we were good all day. We started up towards the front and was able to get the lead pretty early. And I thought, you know, we were definitely one of the best cars. I didn't think we were the best car before the pit stop. But, you know, I lost a little bit just me getting to pit road, and that's how we lost the lead. And then we lost another spot to the 32 in traffic. But I definitely think my car was good enough to get to the lead. It was just a matter of getting close to be able to make the move. And I knew when the final restarts were coming, you know, you had to be really aggressive because it was so hard to pass out there today, and restarts were really the only time you could make something happen. And I knew we had to go, and you know, luckily, you know, we were able to get a good restart there a couple times and get to the lead, and then, you know, when we had the lead with that restart, they tandemed up and drove by us, and you know, luckily, I got another shot at it, and I was able to get around to 77, so still overall a good day, and a really good turning point for this team, and I'm really happy with everyone at Bracket Last Reason that's worked so hard, and to get these trucks to where they need to be, and I really think this is going to be really good momentum for Michigan.
Congratulations, Ryan, one of our former NASCAR Next class members, Ryan Blaney, with his second career win here in the Camping World Truck Series. He's joined by his crew chief, Doug Randolph. Doug, just talk about the win out there today. Certainly an exciting race here at Pocono. The trucks are coming off a great race up at Eldora, and then you come in here at Camping World Truck Series, puts on good racing here at Pocono. Just talk about the event today.
Well, I mean, Ryan did a great job. We did have a pretty good piece. He does a great job when we have adversity. And, you know, in the course of a race, there's always a thing or two that will go wrong, and he always does a great job keeping his composure and making it pay off in the end. And the restarts are always pretty hairy. The two truck races he's won has been multiple restarts, and I'll give him credit as he learns with every restart, figures out what he's going to do. Those restarts, obviously, they pay the big dividends at the end. So, I mean, it's a great day for everybody at BKR and for Ford, and, you know, to get this win, like Ryan said, we've been strong for two solid months now and just hadn't been able to put it all together, and hope this just starts the momentum rolling our way.
Very good. Well,
of course, Ryan Blaney's father is none other than Dave Blaney, who's been driving in the Sprint Cup Series for quite some time, and it always helps when you have somebody to give you some advice, and you've got his dad to fall back on. So
I've been really lucky to have my dad at both of my truck wins, and you know, not a lot of you guys can say that, and I've been fortunate enough to have him here and have him giving me advice along the way, you know, before the race, and he even, you know, gave me some advice right before the green, you know, when I was in the truck. So I've been really fortunate to have him here give me a lot of advice, and he's done the same thing since the beginning, just keeps giving me advice, and you know, I think very few dads can do that, and I've been very lucky to have one like that.
Of course, Dave Blaney driving the number 7, and in the Sprint Cup Series. So, of course, second place, Miguel Paluto was in the press conference, and, you know, he didn't want to finish second, but he's happy with, and here's what he had to say.
I made a mistake, I think, choosing the outside for the start of the race, lost the lead, and from that point on, I was just trying to get the lead back. By lap 42, I think, I was getting closer to the 30, and we had a caution. And from that point on, it was just wild restarts, trying to be aggressive and at the same time don't put myself in a bad position. But it's so hard here because of the long straightaway. Even if you don't have a good start, you have time to get to the guy in front of you and put yourself in position to be up front in turn one. So I think it's a really good day for us. You know, we had the fastest truck, I think, at the racetrack during all day long, and it's a little frustrating to come second, but I'll take it.
But, of course, that last restart, when they start fanning three and four and five wide at Pocono, Blaney was a little bit quicker going in, was able to drive a little deeper and fight him off. Herman Quiroga, who came home third, is going to talk through give us his synopsis of going through that final restart with Blaney, and Pala had to do battle to, and of course, Paluto got around Quiroga to take the second spot, but lined up on that last restart, it was Quiroga and Blaney on the front row going for the lead.
I like to race clean, and obviously I tried to block him, but when he was, like, really, really underneath and he was faster than me, I was not going to cause a wreck for sure. I was expecting that that happened to everybody that started first. So I kind of expect that. I tried to do my best, but I knew that could happen, and I just have to try to not to lose many positions. So we went to fourth, and then we recovered from the fourth place to third place in the last lap. So, yeah, I'm very happy for Miguel. I thought he had a shot for the win, to be honest, when he dropped me. But it is what it is, and I'm happy with how it went.
Of course, Miguel Paluto and Herman Quiroga both drive for Red Horse Racing, so they can't complain, finish 2 and 3. Of course, they would have liked to have it fun. And, you know, Quiroga was asked about driving at Pocono and how well he likes it.
I love this track. It's my first time here, and I really, really like it. I enjoy driving. I like the truck series. What else can I say? I'm very happy about Auerbach getting this result. It's the first top five for them. And hopefully I can bring that 77 truck to Victor Lindson.
Of course, that truck was driven, I think, last year by Parker Kligerman, who was moved up to the Nationwide Series. So, speaking of the Nationwide Series, get into a little bit with them, and let's talk about how that one, of course, out at Rusty Wallace's Iowa Speedway, a track designed by a race car driver. So I guess he kind of knew what he wanted at 7/8 of a mile, keeping it under about 1 mile length, but longer than your typical half miles, which is kind of strange. Nationwide doesn't go to Richmond, so that's a 3/4 mile track, but the truck series, I mean, Nationwide goes to Richmond, the truck series don't. So, which is kind of strange because Richmond's a nice little track there, but at 3/4 of a mile, I guess Rusty figured he wanted a little bit longer, just something different, make it interesting. And, you know, if you want to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. I'm staring at the switchboard here. So feel free to give me a call. And we'll have you to answer some questions or tell us your thoughts. You know, we do this for you, so if you want to chime on in, feel on free, and we'll take your calls as we get them. And that's the way, you know, we do things here. But as far as the Nationwide Series, run Saturday night, so a big crazy day of racing. I mean, I didn't see the ARCA race on it. I didn't, well, at least on Speed, or which will be changing over to Fox Sports 1 in a couple of weeks. But it looked to be there was one sprint. They said there was one Sprint Cup Series driver in the race. I guess if they consider Brian Vickers, who's running for the Nationwide Championship, not a Sprint Cup Series driver, even though he filled in for Denny Hamlin in the 11 car in the Cup Series, and of course is the third driver for Michael Waltrip Racing in the 55 car. Of course, that being split between Mark Martin, Mike Waltrip, and Brian Vickers. So I guess he's running for a Nationwide title, that doesn't consider him the Sprint Cup Series driver. So, but the only legitimate Sprint Cup Series driver in the field was Brad Keselowski, making the trip out to Iowa Speedway. course, the last time they were apart, they sent Joey Logano, Penske sent Joey Logano down. And Joey Logano went on to win the race, and Sam Hornish finished second. Of course, we had Sam on after that, before they went to Indy, and he had an engine failure. But I thought he got robbed in that one when they sent Logano down. And guess what? Deja vu all over. Brad Keselowski took home the checkered flag. I guess he's helping with that owner's points competition for between Penske and Gibbs. Sam Hornish Jr., again, a second-place finisher. And had to battle his way back. He didn't lead any laps, though. I'm sure he could have used a few of those bonus points. It would have helped. But outside of that, the only person that had the real amount of bonus points was Austin Dillon Jr. Austin Dillon, and he was pretty much stomping everybody's tail in the race. Out in Newton, Iowa, they had the 250 laps. He led 116, pretty much the big chunk throughout the middle of the race, and it just turned out that at the right time, or at the wrong time, he lost the lead. Keselowski took it over and was able to run the final 35 laps to take home the checkered flag. Regan Smith was one of the other leaders. So it was Hornish, Keselowski first, Hornish second, Vickers third, Dillon wound up fourth, Kyle Larson fifth. He was running more towards the back in the second half of the race. He's pulling a Terry Labonte move. Like, you don't know he's there, and the next thing you know, he's in the top 10. Then he sneaks into the top 5, and that's pretty much what happened with Kyle Larson. He brought home a fifth-place finish. Drew Herring, who started on the pole in the 54 car. Of course, that car normally driven by Kyle Busch in the Nationwide Series, when both series, the Nationwide and the Sprint Cup Series, are together. So Kyle's staying in Pocono, had Drew Herring in the car. He stuck it on the pole, and he led for 26 laps, and he wound up spinning it while leading, and it didn't help his cause any. So he did manage to finish sixth. Alex Bowman, another rookie, finished 17th in the driver of the 99. Elliott Sadler, 8th, Ryan Gifford, 9th, Trevor Bayne, 10th, Regan Smith, 11th. So that one bonus point that Smith got for leading the lap helped, but it didn't help good enough as the points right now, it's really, really tight up at the top. The time of the race was 1 hour, 56 minutes, and 58 seconds, 112.2 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 0.53 seconds. And there's the difference between a 5.5 and 0.53. That's 5 car lengths versus 50 car lengths in the Indy car race at Mid-Ohio. So it just goes to show you the difference in how much a tenth of a second could be, and then you're talking when you have seconds on top of that. Of course, Austin Dillon did have like a 9-second lead, and I think they were telling him to get as far out ahead of everybody in case of a fuel situation, but it didn't turn out that way because there were 4 cautions for 21 laps, and the last caution coming out on lap 224, the county raced everybody's lead, and you know, Brad Keselowski had was able to run the last 35 laps and take the win. He led from lap 216 to 250, so, and Dillon led
from lap 86 to lap 201. So there's a big chunk of the race right there. And it came down on that restart, I guess, to between Vickers and Keselowski. Of course, the way one car pushes the other to the lead, Sam Hornish was able to get in behind Keselowski for second place. Looking at the Nationwide Series points, Austin Dillon right now, 698. Regan Smith in second and Sam Hornish in third have 684 apiece. So that's pretty tight. The difference between Smith being in second, Hornish being in third is one win as a tiebreaker. So that being said, anything could happen because this week the Nationwide Series returns to action, and they'll be at Watkins Glen on the road course. So then they go to Mid-Ohio. So they got two road courses in a row, so that should really shake things up points-wise. And I think Sam Hornish Jr. might have an advantage with those two road courses coming up. And then after lefty-righty for 2 weeks in a row down to Bristol, where it's always a fun time under the lights down there. So it should be getting kind of interesting to see what they're doing. Give us a call at 646-649-1899. I'm Vince Pontrigli. You're listening to Garage Talk Live on Blog Talk Radio. Matter of fact, I was going to have the winner of the I pick Keselowski from the Iowa race, but I don't have that in queue. And so anyway, let's go on to the Cup race at Pocono, and then we'll make our picks for the Glen, and you can go on to Garage Talk Live, the Facebook page, and you can make your picks there. So, but the way it turned out, Jimmy Johnson, who won the pole, set a track record on Friday. I picked him last week because I said after losing at the Brickyard, I figured he was going to come back with a vengeance. And he started off that way, winning the pole with a new track record, and he led for 43 laps. But a little funny thing happened just before halfway. He blew a right front tire and wound up scuffing the wall, so they had to get that car all repaired. And, you know, when that happens, they worked previously. But, you know, being a champion and the points leader, they had to fight their way back. But that left the field opened up for Casey Kane and Jeff Gordon and Kurt Busch, who had a good run. Ryan Newman, had them for a legitimate shot at winning the race. Then it looked like it was going to come down on a caution that will restart with nine laps to go. Jeff Gordon got around Casey Kane, who had led a bit, who was the dominant leader of the race, to take the lead. And then, lo and behold, a caution with four laps to go bunched up the field again. Everybody had been to the pits. They were good to go on gas, and they were ready for green-white checkers if they needed them. And this time on the restart, Casey Kane was out was able to outlast Jeff Gordon and take the lead from him and go on to take the win. Of course, Jeff Gordon finishing second. Kurt Busch was third. Ryan Newman was fourth. Dale Jr. was fifth. Good run for him, considering he started 25th. Gordon started 22nd. Casey Kane was starting 18th. And there's one, two, three Hendrick cars in the top five. And then, of course, Newman's car had a Hendrick motor. So that's a fourth Hendrick-powered car there. The only other car in the top five that wasn't was still a Chevy, and that was Kurt Busch's Furniture Row car, and that has a Childress motor in it. So the top five were all Chevys. The first Ford was in sixth with Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano taking sixth and seventh. Kyle Busch was eighth, Tony Stewart ninth, and Greg Biffle came home 10th. The race took 3 hours, 6 minutes, and 2 seconds, and the average speed was 129 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 1.39 seconds, so off of that restart with three to go. This was not green-white checker overtime. It was within the regulation distance of the race, so Casey Kane was able to get that far ahead of Jeff Gordon and reclaim the lead, because it looked like that when Gordon had it, had that stayed green, Jeff Gordon would have won the race. I don't think Casey Kane would have caught back up to him, but the courtesy of a caution late helped him out. Of course, there were nine cautions for 35 laps. Last caution coming on lap 157 for Kenseth, who had a rough day. He had a few problems. Danica Patrick was running pretty good in 18th when she got together with a few cars, kind of lost the back end. Her car and took out a couple others. Let's see. She took out the 31 and 93 in the 10-27 car about lap 110, so about 50 laps from the finish. That started the cautions, breeding cautions section, but there were 27 lead changes amongst 14 drivers. That's pretty good for Pocono. Usually it's not that busy of a race, and but it turned out to be the actual track record for Jimmy Johnson on the pole was 180.6 miles an hour. So when the average speed of the race down to 129, I'm going to tell you something. There were nine cautions for 35 laps. Most of that on the in the back end of the race, the front end. I guess they started early on the second lap when Stenhouse, Kenseth, and Montoya got into it. But so they were the ones that took care of most of it. There was a few spread out, but as they got towards the end there, everybody has to go for it. Now, as far as the points go, Jimmy Johnson leads the points, 772 over Clint Bowyer, who's in second. He has 695. Edwards third at 688 points. Kevin Harvick at 675 is fourth. Dale Jr. is in fifth. Sixth is Kyle Busch. Seventh is Matt Kenseth. Eighth is Casey Kane, who with the win yesterday probably locked himself at least into the wild card spot with that second win. But being he's actually in the top ten, that helps. And tenth is Gordon is ninth. Tenth is Biffle. Tony Stewart's in 11th, and Brad Keselowski right now is in 12th. As far as that goes, if Keselowski, any, I think it's between Martin Truex and Ryan Newman, who each have a win, that might bump Brad Keselowski out of it, who doesn't have a win yet this year. And I think one of the regulations for making that wild card is being in the top 20 and having the most wins in that regard, in that section. So he can get bounced from there. So we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. So it's getting kind of interesting. We only have a race 21. So we got five more races till the chase starts. Man, can you believe that the season's coming to the end? That is running down that quick. And then the last regular season race will be at Richmond International. And we were out in the May race. We'll see if we can get out to the September race and hopefully that shakes out. So here's a little bit of the winner with Casey Kane and what he said, going on that final restart, how he was going to handle things.
Yeah, it was just crucial getting into one and getting to the backstretch. And, you know, it was I was able to drive in. My braking and the way the car was set up, I could drive into one and into two really hard all day long. So I felt like if I got there and I was close to anyone, I could drive in as far further than them. And that was what we were able to do. But it was I knew I had my hands full because those guys were – they want to win just as bad as we do, and I needed one bad. I felt like our team did. We've been, like Kenny said, we've been really fast this whole season, especially through the summer months. Just things have happened, and we don't have much to show for. But today we finished it off and then put a full race together.
And, of course, Casey's saying the win should give him and the team confidence heading into the chase.
Gives myself confidence and gives the whole team confidence, Kenny and the pit crew guys. I mean, everybody that's part of it. So, it gives us and it closes the gap. You know, if we finish in the top 10, get into the chase, it will be closer to Matt and Jimmy, guys who already have four wins. So I think wins are key for sure. And then just for our points, I mean, the chase is what it's all about in NASCAR. I mean, you need to make it, and for the sponsors, for the teams, and we've been right there on the edge with kind of the way our summer went. So it was nice to get two wins, and it gives us much more hope, you know, going in, and we'll just start a lot closer.
Of course, second place, Jeff Gordon, who was leading going on to that final restart, had this to say about Casey when the green flag was dropped.
Yeah, he was super fast all day. I mean, those guys, they deserved and earned that win today. We had them, though. We certainly had the position. We got a good restart, and, I'm pretty disappointed that, I allowed them to get to the outside of me down in one. And, that's the advantage you have of being second, just like the restart before that. I had a little bit of an advantage by being in second to get position on him. And, I thought that last one that I did everything I needed to do, and I looked in my mirror, and I really thought that the inside lane got a good run on Casey. So I thought, all I need to do is get in here and get the bottom, and I'll be good. But, man, he got a killer run and blasted up on the outside of me, and caught me by surprise, I'll be honest. And in that case, in that scenario, it just kills your momentum.
Of course, if he had a chance to do it all over, this is what Jeff would have done.
You know, now looking back on it, I probably would have rather put him on the inside. If I'd known I was going to get that good of a restart, I think I would have rather put him on the inside. And then I don't think he could have got to the outside of me. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. You'll go through that a million. I'll go through that a million times. I've given away a lot more races than I've won. So, you know, whether it's restarts or whether it's, I mean, I've missed shifts here before. So, you know, I'm happy that we were in position. I'm bummed that, you know, it didn't work out the way it did. I'll try to do it better the next time, and, you know, hopefully it works out.
Of course, Kurt Busch, third place finisher, pushing Casey Kane, and if you had a chance, if you had a choice of who we'd rather get to, I'm sure he would have rather got out there by himself, but here's what Kurt had to say.
I've seen Kane struggle a little bit on some restarts, and when he did, he flipped the tires at least twice, and then when he shifted to third gear, it was all wrong again, and I hesitated. I mean, my front bumper hit his rear bumper, and the only option I had at that point was to push, and I could have went four wide or five wide. I mean, the 88 got to my inside, and at that moment, I was just hoping for the best, and then who knew Kane was going to squeak out and get alongside the 24 and beat him down into turn two. So, I mean, the only option I had was to push him at that point. And, you know, it's just the way that things fall. It wasn't premeditated. It wasn't planned. Gordon went from winning to finishing second, and Kane went from finishing second up to winning. And my car might have had something to do with the draft on the outside lane.
Of course, that long front straightaway, you got a chance to get up there pretty good. It's over 3,000 feet long. And five lanes wide, going to Pocono many times as a fan back in the late 80s, sitting up along that front row of seats there. It's just a pretty huge place to actually see the cars once they take that green, and it takes them a little while, but they can get up to a pretty good speed going down into one, and that's pretty much what happened. Kurt had to push him out in the open there, and of course, he was able to settle in behind Gordon and finish third. But when asked about his chances of making the chase, this is what Kurt had to say. He's driving as well as he had. If he had a few more good finishes commensurate on the way he's run the race, he probably would be sitting a lot better in the points. But here's what Kurt had to say.
We just need to have nice, smooth races and execute just like today. You know, what's amazing is we finished 14th last week and gained 1 point. We finished third this week and we gained 2 points. So it's so tight. You know, when you're running against Jeff Gordon, a four-time champion, Keselowski, a champion from last year, is in this mix. Biffle is strong. Truex won earlier at Sonoma. This group of guys are all chase material. And for us, we're just putting the blinders on and worrying about the 78. And I'm just excited to go back to these tracks a second time and execute with the mistakes we made the first time around.
Of course, Kurt Busch sitting 13th right now. No wins in the bank for seeding purposes. So if the chase started tomorrow, he'd be on the outside looking in. So, but the guy's got talent. He has a championship, and you can't take that away from him. You know, when you win a Sprint Cup, or back when he was the first Sprint Cup winner. It was the Nextel Cup then. It was Kenseth who won the final Winston Cup, and Kurt Busch won the first Nextel, now Sprint Cup. The trophy is the same. It's just Sprint bought Nextel and put their name on it. But anyway, this week everything changes around a little bit. If you got some time you want to call in, the number is 646-649-1899. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You're listening to Garage Talk Live on Block Talk Radio. We're here every Monday from 8 to 9. Sometimes 10. Depends on how many guests we get. The more we get, the less I talk, the more you get to listen. For this week, we're going out on the road, the second road course of the year, this time to the Finger Lakes region in Watkins Glen, New York, for the Finger Lakes 355. And again, a different scenario, a different set of circumstances. Some of the top finishers are guys that you will recognize that run well at road courses that usually aren't. Brad Keselowski, Jimmy Johnson, Clint Boyer, Sam Hornish Jr., who will be running Saturday, but he was in the Cup Series driving the car Logano drive, so to see what Joey can hold down the fort. But, of course, this is the race Marcus Ambrose won to put him into the Sprint All-Star race. Brad Keselowski was second in this race, which helped him on his way to winning the Sprint Cup Championship last year. Jimmy Johnson, Clint Boyer, Boyer winning Sonoma last year. Of course, this year it was Martin Truex Jr., so you got to watch out for him on the road. This is one of the tracks he ran in the K&N Series when it used to be the Busch Series or the Busch North or the Camping World Pro East, and it's changed so many times it's hard to keep track. Fortunately, you know, when you get the sponsorship money, they get their name at the front, but, you know, it's just one of those things that guys you got to watch out for. Jeff Gordon good on the road. Stewart good on the road. Juan Montoya good on the road. A lot of guys to choose from. So what I'm going to do here in a few minutes we have left is if you want to call in to make your pick right now, give me a call, 646-649-1899. And we'll take your pick and we'll post it on the Facebook page, and because I'm going to make my pick and write it in at the end of the show, and you can go from there. So if you're tuned in, I suggest you go into the, if you like our Facebook page. If you don't, then go to Facebook.com. If you're already on Facebook, look, put Garage Talk Live in the search and hit the like button, and we'll have our, you can make your pick right on the page right there. If you do it now, you'll get in there before I do. But just wanted to let everybody know that you're tuned in to us in this couple week. I'm trying to book some more guests for next week. If you got any ideas, of course, the Sprint Car Series had a loss, and everybody here at Garage Talk Live extends our condolences to the family and friends of Kramer Williamson, who succumbed to injuries sustained at a crash at Lincoln Speedway on Saturday night. And keep his family in your thoughts and prayers, and they go through this time. That's like the second one that I've heard this year. And of course, the first one being Jason Leffler down at Bridgeport. So it's not something you want to hear about, and when it happens, it's a rare, but we've had two this year so far, and that's enough for now. So hopefully everybody that runs on the local tracks has safe races. Of course, tomorrow night you can tune into Low Down and Dirty right here on this thing. It's called on the Garage Talk Live Presents on Blog Talk Radio. It'll be Low Down and Dirty tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, and I'm sure they'll be talking about it because they're up there at Grandview, and they always cover that area. Of course, Lincoln Speedway, a little more central Pennsylvania. And just one of those things we're sad to hear about, and I didn't want to go off the air without saying something. So anyway, just wanted to let you know that next week we'll have coverage of the Glen. Of course, oh, yeah, at the Pacific Raceway for in Kent, Washington, the NHRA O'Reilly Auto Parts Northwest Nationals. I said Sonoma earlier, so I want to correct that. Funny car was Matt Hagen beating Bob Tasca. Top Fuel, Morgan Lucas beat David Grubnick. Pro Stocker was Vincent Noville over Jeg Coughlin. So Bob Tasca, we've had on the show from Providence, Rhode Island before. Matt Hagen, who lives right up the road from me in Christiansburg, Virginia. Matter of fact, I'm going to try to get him on the show, being he's a local guy there. Morgan Lucas, the Geico Dragster at a 3.9 versus Grubnick, who had a 4.25. And, of course, funny car was Hagen with a 4.17 versus Tasca, who had Tasca's time was 5.23 and must have spun the tires in the finals. The Pro Stock was a little closer with Vincent Nobile turning a 6.58 and Jeg Coughlin turned a 6.61. So you figure they were, that was a what you would call on the drag strip a photo finish. So we'll see you all next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Thank you for joining me. You're listening to Garage Talk Live on Blog Talk Radio. Good night and good racing.